You're listening to an iHeart podcast.
Hi, I'm Bob Pittman, Chairman and CEO of iHeartMedia. On this week's episode of Math and Magic, I'm sitting down with the one and only Bobby Bones. We're exploring the power of audio.
Yeah, I don't fit into one specific hole. I think that is what endeared me to listeners. That's why I'm here now, because I talk to people that grew up like me, have sensibilities like me, and have loyalties like me.
Listen to Math and Magic, stories from the frontiers of marketing on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcast.
In the fall of 1986, Ronald Reagan found himself at the center of a massive scandal that looked like it might bring down his presidency. It became known as the Iran-Contra affair.
The things that happened were so bizarre and insane, I can't begin to tell you.
Please do.
To hear the whole story, listen to Fiasco, Iran-Contra on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, Clay, if there was a summer camp for critical thinking, we'd be the chief counselors.
Those jellyheads in June would be intellectual warriors by August.
Be a lot of fun, too. Some Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventure references thrown in.
This podcast, like a daily dose of that, minus the campfires, archery, and pranking the girls.
The bona fide boot camp for critical thinking. You can get in on it for free at the iHeartRadio app or wherever you get your podcasts. Just search our names, Clay and Buck, listen and subscribe.
Let's look back, shall we? Not ancient history. Let's look back now that Joe Biden is back in the limelight. We'll do that tonight. We'll talk to Cernovich about what's going on with Tish James. Did we find a mole inside the Pentagon? All that and more coming up on I'm Right. Joe Biden's back. I'll tell you what, we'll get to that in a second. You ever look at an aging rock star or actor, actress, and they haven't aged well, if you will? You could just tell life's been hard. That's been some hard living. They're 55 going on 85, and you say to yourself, man, their body has had some abuse to it. You ever say, Mickey Rourke's actually a good example. Sorry, not to pick on Mickey Rourke, who I actually like him as an actor, but you ever seen Mickey Rourke now? You look and you think, man, whew, his body's been through some things. And you ever wonder, what? What was it? What are the things it's been through? Well, it's helpful to figure out what that is, you see, when you're talking about yourself, when you're talking about a country. How did we get here as a country? How did we get to this state of decay? How did we get to a place where half the country hates it, the rest of us are trying to save it? Well, look, we can't discount the role Joe Biden's 4 years in office played. Because during Joe Biden's 4 years, things accelerated to a level that shocked everybody, including me. And you know how evil I talk about these communists being. You and I talk about this all the time. And of course, they are evil. They're evil, they're sick, they're depraved, they're destructive. But even I would wake up on days when Joe Biden was president and I was just flabbergasted by the naked power, the evil of the entire thing. And of course, Joe Biden's back now. Now, why is Joe Biden back? Did Joe Biden wake up one day on the beach in Delaware, wipe the drool off his face and say, hey, it's chill, you know what? I want to get back in the game. No, of course not. We all know what Joe Biden's mental state is. It's a disaster. Joe Biden is, and not celebrating this at all, but Joe Biden is in the final years of his life. That's how it goes. When you get that age and your mind starts to go that way, we're all going to die one day, and maybe we'll all die in that way. But Joe Biden does not have a lot of time left on this planet. He simply does not. And I'm sure he, like most people, would like to spend his final days resting on the beach. I don't know. But we all know Jill pushed him back in. Jill Biden loved the White House, loved being First Lady, loved the power, loved the recognition. Remember, she used to host cabinet meetings, give speeches all the time. Her husband humiliated himself on the national stage in front of the entire planet on a debate, during a debate with Donald Trump, and Joe Biden still wanted him to run again. I mean, it's just a soulless monster, just a fame-hungry monster, right? So I'm sure this was all Jill's doing. It's just my guess, but I would guess this is all Jill's doing. Hey, Joe, you got go give a speech. And, well, let's remember this guy was president for 4 years.
Everyone deserves to be treated with dignity, regardless of their standing, regardless of their economic situation, regardless of who they are. People can't sign on to their accounts. What do you think it does to that woman's living alone at 74 years checking, just not able to even find out whether she can't even find out what that disability claim is she has? Think of what the psychic calm gives so many people who just don't know where to go, don't know how to traverse what needs to be done, or alone.
What? Don't ask me what he said. I don't know. I listened to that 4 times. Matt, producer Matt, cut that up and sent it over. I listened 4 times. I still don't know what he said. I don't know. You don't know. But of course, he was the commander in chief for 4 years. 4 years. And this is why things accelerated to a level that shocked you, that shocked me for that 4 years. Because he was never president of the United States of America. You know that. It's not just towards the end. He was never president. He was never strong enough to control the savages in the Democrat Party. He was a placeholder, and he essentially sat there drooling on himself while the most evil Maoists in the United States of America did, well, I mean, everything they could with no breaks. Joe Biden's presidency was the no breaks on communism presidency. It was a lovely little window into what that looks like. You want the Justice Department to go after your political opponents? Go ahead. Send the FBI to raid the Republican nominee's home? No problem. It was just all gas, no brakes on it. And look, poor Joe. You can't include, I realize it's the Democrat Party, and so they have to pick at the scabs of racism. Otherwise, they wouldn't even be a party if they couldn't get people worked up about race. But you can't ask Joe to make speeches about buses full of black kids because he's going to say something like this.
I remember pulling into the parking lot, and I'd never seen hardly any black people in Scranton at the time when I was only going in fourth grade. And I remember seeing the kids going by at the time called colored kids on a bus going by. They never turned right to go to Claymont High School. I wondered why. Asked my mom, why? So in Delaware, they're not allowed to go to school, in public school, with white kids, honey.
Obviously, it's yet another made-up story. That conversation never happened. Joe Biden can't remember how to pronounce a sentence. I'm reasonably sure he doesn't remember a conversation he had with his mother in the fourth grade about being, you know, the saintly guy who wants the black kids to go to school with the white kids. But all that aside, that person pretended to be president for 4 years. But let's not take all of the blame off of Joe Biden's shoulders and hand it out to the communists who surrounded him, because there is something that's undeniably true about Joe Biden. He's a jerk. And I say it in this way, he's well known. I now, because of this job I have sources all over Capitol Hill. Senate offices and House offices and all kinds of people. It's one of those things. It's well known. Joe Biden has always been a jerk to everybody. He's a jerk to his staff. He's a jerk to the media. He's just a nasty human being. There's decades old video, which we've played for you 1,000 times before, of Joe Biden talking down to people, being a jerk to people. The media had to present him as this kindly, saintly old man because they were trying to do a yin and yang thing with Trump. Look how mean Trump is. Look at this. Isn't it time for somebody nice? But Joe Biden is a jerk and always has been. And he took the communist speechwriters of his and he married the communist speechwriters and their evil with his natural tendencies towards being a jerk. And what he did was something I have never seen in the entire history of America's presidency. I've never seen it before. I've never, ever seen a president this comfortable talking down to huge portions of the population.
It's never been this divided. Granted, it's roughly 30%, but it's a 30% that has no heart.
I understand if you're young, it's not insulting you, just you haven't experienced everything older folks have, that you may not realize how stunning that is. I'm 43 years old. No Democrat, no Republican president in my 43 years on this planet has ever said anything like that. It's just something, it was always understood you don't do as president, even if they say it privately, and of course they did. Democrats go privately and they dog cuss Republicans, and Republicans privately, they'll dog cuss Democrats. An American president, no matter the party, does not ever look at a huge portion of the country and talk down to them and act like they're worthless. That has never happened in my 43 years. And I've talked to so many older folks, my parents included, and they echoed that. They said, well, Jesse, we're in our 70. I've never seen it in my entire life. We've had good presidents, bad presidents. That doesn't happen. But that's a huge portion of why we are divided, why the lines are where they are. And it wasn't just that he would give speeches talking about half the country as if they're worthless, they're stupid. What did he say during the campaign? The only garbage I see are his supporters. Talking about Trump supporters. The garbage I see. Called us garbage. It wasn't just that. Joe Biden, emboldened by the communists around him, did something else I've never seen, and I've looked. I don't think this has ever happened in the history of America's presidency. Remember how he used to threaten us all the time?
Donald Trump and the MAGA Republicans represent an extremism that threatens the very foundations of our republic.
You've been patient, but our patience is wearing thin, and your refusal has cost all of us.
And by the way, if they want to think to take on government, if we get out of line, which they're talking again about, well, guess what? They need F-15s. They don't need a rifle.
That line is a line I've heard Democrats use a lot. You want to take on the government, you better get some nukes. That's what Eric Swalwell said. Joe Biden used that last line repeatedly. Just let's again, because this is about where we are. Why are we where we are? The American president, as just, it was a talking point he would use repeatedly and thought it was okay to tell the American people, if they step out of line, he'll send fighter jets after us? That's what he's saying. Watch yourself. I'll send some F-15s after you. That is such an insane departure from where this country's ever been. And now here we are. You got AOC the other day out there, large speech, calling Trump a rapist.
Donald Trump is a criminal. He was found guilty of 34 felony counts of fraud, found liable for sexual abuse. And if he wants to find the rapists and criminals in this country, he should look in the mirror.
We're not going to put Humpty Dumpty back together again. I know that's heavy. And I know that's what we all want. It's what I want. We have to defeat these people. I'm not saying we're done. I'm not saying that. But there's not going to be any coming together with this vein of communism. There's just not. They have to be defeated. And look, don't dismiss AOC. We have a large percentage of people out there supporting her. Democrats. Supporting her potentially running for United States presidency. We have members of the American media. They're already getting practically giddy at the thought of what she might do when she controls the Justice Department.
It's Donald Trump. Well, what happens the next 4 years from now when a Democrat is in office? What happens when President Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez decides to use these same powers that the president has now expanded by simply just pretending not to pay attention to the rulings of the court?
It is true that when standards are eroded, they tend to seldom come back and be reinstated.
And look, I did see this. I wanted to bring this up. Far be it from me to defend the man, but Hakeem Jeffries is the top Democrat in the House of Representatives. He's the minority leader, as you know. And Washington Free Beacon has a story out there about confidence in him eroding, that he can't control things. Well, I'm here to tell you, again, hate to defend him, but what's happening right now cannot be controlled. This evil, demonic strain of communism that now runs the Democrat Party, it cannot be controlled. We better win, because losing, can't lose to these people. All that may have made you uncomfortable, but I am right. So get your chalk in your body so you're ready to go. Men, women, chalk has some natural herbal supplements, no matter who you are, young, old. You know what I start out my day with? Ob makes a little smoothie. It's disgusting. But the best part of it is I get to put some chalk lit powder in it, pack full of vitamins and minerals. It's all natural stuff. Ready to go. Feeling good. Start my day every single day just like that. You want to try that? Try starting your day like that and tell me how you feel after a month. Go to chalk.com/JesseTV because that's how you get a gigantic, a fat discount. And nobody wants to pay full price right now, especially given the economic situation. Chalk.com/JesseTV. We'll be back.
In the fall of 1986, Ronald Reagan found himself at the center of a massive scandal that looked like it might bring down his presidency.
Did you make a mistake in sending arms to Tehran, sir?
No.
It became known as the Iran-Contra affair.
And I'm not taking any more questions. In just a second, I'm going to ask Attorney General.
I'm Leon Neyfakh, co-creator of Slow Burn. In my podcast, Fiasco, Iran-Contra, you'll hear all the unbelievable details of a scandal that captivated the nation nearly 40 years ago, but which few of us still remember today.
The things that happened were so bizarre and insane, I can't begin to tell you.
Please do.
To hear the whole story, listen to Fiasco, Iran-Contra on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
The best way to understand all sides of an issue is to know all sides of an issue.
Can't get that in the mainstream media, which is why you've got to listen to some Clay and Buck for another point of view.
Buck, why are you going third person?
Because, Clay, I think this ad is running in places that might not exactly align with all of our politics or even know who we are.
It's impossible. But maybe if it's true, I bet if they did listen, they'd end up agreeing with us on at least one issue, even if they secretly won't admit it.
Well, the only way they're going to find out is if they download the Clay Travis and Buck Sexton Show podcast on the iHeartRadio app or wherever they get their pods.
We're easy to find, unlike your wife at Costco.
Clay, you speak the truth, but we're already losing people.
I think I gained one or two just now.
In case you haven't noticed, we like to have a lot of fun as well as talk about what's going on in the world.
Come hang with us today and every day at Clay and Buck. Download the iHeartRadio app, search out those names, Clay Travis, Buck Sexton, and come hang.
Hi, I'm Bob Pittman, Chairman and CEO of iHeartMedia.
On this week's episode of Math and Magic, I'm sitting down with the one and only Bobby Bones. We're exploring the power of audio.
The word on the street then was, he's too country for pop. But then once I got to country, it was, he's too pop for country. So I kind of never really had a place to fit in, but that's exactly how and why I fit. I just embraced that. Like, yeah, I don't fit into one specific hole. I think that is what endeared me to listeners. That's why I'm here now, because I talk to people that grew up like me, have sensibilities like me, and have loyalties like me.
Listen to Math and Magic, stories from the frontiers of marketing on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Okay. So I want to talk about something that is good, right? There's always heavy stuff. There's always a ton of work to do. But just really quickly, you remember the whole Signal chat leak thing? It wasn't our finest hour, okay? We woke up one day and we found out that a scumbag communist named Jeffrey Goldberg at The Atlantic was getting our national security texts. Somehow someone had added him on it. Okay, it was a bad moment. It was a bad moment, right? But it did produce something good. from that moment, the Pentagon, Pete Hegseth, his people, they knew they had a problem. They knew they had a leak. And let me just explain this briefly. There are leaks everywhere in this government. There is this really, really disgusting relationship at the highest levels of power between communists in the military, in the FBI, CIA, NSA, between communists in these organizations and members of the American media. Lots of these guys have a media person they go to. Remember a while ago when Tucker Carlson said, hey, we got confirmation the NSA is spying on my emails? And then we woke up one morning and we were reading Tucker Carlson's emails because the NSA had leaked them to the American media. That's how it works, right? Well, not one, not two, but now three of these alleged leakers have been escorted out of the Pentagon. I know this sounds small, but we talk all the time. I talk all the time to you about the cancers, the tumors we have, and how we have to cut them out, and how we have to cut deep, and how we have to remove this, and how we have to remove that, and how we have... Well, this is what cutting looks like. Is it enough? Of course not. Of course not. We have legions of these people to go, legions of them. But we have to begin at the beginning. And right now, the Trump administration knows beyond a shadow of a doubt they have traitors throughout the administration. They're all over the Pentagon. They're all over CIA, FBI, NSA, all these groups. And you have to find them and you have to get them out or they will destroy your presidency. But that's not just me saying it. It's not just you thinking it. The Trump administration knows it, and they're doing something about it, and that should make us feel good. Is everything fixed? Of course not. But they're doing something good, and we're marching in the right direction, and we should feel good about that. All right? That's all I wanted to say. Just wanted you to feel good about that. All right. Let's talk about Tish James. Maybe you heard she's in a bit of trouble. Is she going to prison? Cernovich will join us in a moment. See if Tish is going to prison. First, let me talk to you about your cell phone, your mobile provider, because your actual phone is fine, I'm sure. You can keep your phone when you switch to PureTalk. Did you know that? Yes, they have new phones if you want one, but you don't have to switch phones. You don't have to switch phone numbers. I wouldn't ask that of you. That's such a pain. No one wants to do that. I have a new number. No. With PureTalk, you just get a hold of these people. They hire Americans who are pleasant, and your bill will go down, way down, and you will be supporting the mobile company that actually loves the United States of America. PureTalk has never taken your money and used it to crap on your country. Verizon has. AT&T has. T-Mobile has. Verizon doesn't. PureTalk doesn't. Verizon doesn't. Verizon does! PureTalk doesn't do that. PureTalk hires Americans. Your bill will go down. Their CEO is a Vietnam veteran. And it's easy to switch. PureTalk.com/JesseTV. We'll be back.
The best way to understand all sides of an issue is to know all sides of an issue.
Can't get that in the mainstream media, which is why you've got to listen to some Clay and Buck for another point of view.
Buck, why are you going third person?
Because, Clay, I think this ad is running in places that might not exactly align with all of our politics or even know who we are.
It's impossible. But maybe if it's true, I bet if they did listen, they'd end up agreeing with us on at least one issue, even if they secretly won't admit it.
Well, the only way they're going to find out is if they download the Clay Travis and Buck Sexton Show podcast on the iHeartRadio app or wherever they get their pods.
We're easy to find, unlike your wife at Costco.
Clay, you speak the truth, but we're already losing people.
I think I gained one or two just now.
In case you haven't noticed, we like to have a lot of fun as well as talk about what's going on in the world.
Come hang with us today and every day at Clay and Buck. Download the iHeartRadio app, search out those names, Clay Travis, Buck Sexton, and come hang.
In the fall of 1986, Ronald Reagan found himself at the center of a massive scandal that looked like it might bring down his presidency.
Did you make a mistake in sending arms to Tehran, sir?
No.
It became known as the Iran-Contra affair.
And I'm not taking any more questions. In just a second, I'm going to ask Attorney General.
I'm Leon Neyfakh, co-creator of Slow Burn. In my podcast, Fiasco, Iran-Contra, you'll hear all the unbelievable details of a scandal that captivated the nation nearly 40 years ago, but which few of us still remember today.
the things that happened were so bizarre and insane, I can't begin to tell you.
Please do.
To hear the whole story, listen to Fiasco, Iran-Contra on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hi, I'm Bob Pittman, Chairman and CEO of iHeartMedia.
On this week's episode of Math and Magic, I'm sitting down with the one and only Bobby Bones. We're exploring the power of audio.
The word on the street then was, he's too country for pop. But then once I got to country, it was, he's too pop for country. So I kind of never really had a place to fit in, but that's exactly how and why I fit. I just embraced that. Like, yeah, I don't fit into one specific hole. I think that is what endeared me to listeners. That's why I'm here now, because I talk to people that grew up like me, have sensibilities like me, and have loyalties like me.
Listen to Math and Magic, stories from the frontiers of marketing on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
My mission is clear. I'm focused. I'm prepared. I'm ready. I've been trained by the best. I went to Howard University. That overturned legal segregation in this country. I've been taught in those classrooms where Thurgood Marshall once taught. I'm not afraid of no president. Donald Trump, we're ready for you. We're coming for you. We're standing up for you. We're fighting on. We're not going down silent. Victory, my friends, is clear. It's now. And I'm not waiting 4 years. I'm waiting two, until a speaker by the name of Hakeem Jeffries comes to bring us some rest. Come on, ladies. It's up to us. We saved this democracy before. We'll save it now. Let's go.
I don't know if that was hard for you, but it's hard for me. She was in my ear, almost had to take this out. It's just so obnoxious. Joining me now, my buddy Mike Cernovich, filmmaker, author. Actually has another one coming, which I'm going to ask him about here in just a moment. Mike, on top of the fact she's obnoxious, what do you make of all this? She going down for mortgage fraud or something? What's happening with all this?
Yeah, everyone knows if you're conservative, filing for a mortgage application is very stressful because mortgage brokers will just throw in any kind of number and you have to say, no, you can't do this. You don't get me involved in some kind of nonsense because of your scummy agency. And with Letitia James, it was she, not the mortgage broker, who falsified data, allegedly, although it looks quite strong to me, in a mortgage application. There were multiple issues that could not be attributed to errors or that she couldn't blame the mortgage broker for. And now she is facing investigation for that, as she should.
Okay, Mike, you're a lot more well-versed in the law and most things than I am. What are we looking at here? Is she going to prison? Is she going to get a little $500 fine? What kind of charges are we looking at here for this stuff?
Well, they can, if you look at how they charge cases, these can be charged aggressively because they can be charged not just as mortgage fraud, but also money laundering. And if you look at how they charge the Trump cases, you can make it a very simple case that would plead down to a misdemeanor, or they could make it multiple felonies, because the Dinesh case, I think, was illustrative. Dinesh was indicted for allegedly using straw donors to help a friend's campaign. And he said, I'm going to go to trial. So then what happened was the SDNY, under that really scuzzy guy, I forget his name, but he really is a real scummy lowlife guy. And then he refiled the case to say, well, because you use straw donors, you knowingly got someone to file a federal tax return that was false, and that's a mandatory minimum of 5 years. And that's why Dinesh ended up pleading guilty. So there are a lot of different ways that cases like these can be charged. Ordinarily, it would be a felony that you would plead down to a misdemeanor, and she would have to be disbarred because it would be considered a crime of moral turpitude since it was a financial fraud. So if I'm boring, you just interrupt me. But if you're a lawyer, you're not just subject to the criminal laws of the land, of course, but you're subject to state bar jurisdiction. So if you file a false mortgage application that isn't your mortgage broker doing funny business after you've filled it out honestly, then you would be guilty of a crime of moral turpitude because that would be financial fraud. And then, of course, you would be disbarred, although, as we've seen, states like California and New York and D.C. have a different set of standards for Democrat lawyers than for Republicans.
Yeah, what a shock. All right, I'm thrilled that at least one scumbag might be facing some form of justice, right? I'll take anything I can get at this point in time. What do you make right now of the job Pam Bondi, we're going to focus on her specifically, of the job she's doing? I'm not a lawyer. I'm doing the best I can to be patient. And I'm telling myself every night, Mike, when I go to bed, that she's just busy crossing the T's and dotting the I's, and government indictments are coming down soon. This government person's going to be arrested, and this government person's going to be arrested. That's what I tell myself so I can sleep at night, Mike. What do you think?
Well, I don't want to play the whole as a lawyer card because I never like to do that because I'm not Douglas Murray. But I'll say that as a lawyer – so it took you a second. You got that one. So as a lawyer with a fair amount of expertise on these issues, the issue that you have is – and Trump really had this problem in his first term – is all of the Department of Justice lawyers were pro-Biden regime. So Biden comes in. He has this fascist attorney general – and he's got all the line lawyers ready to file paperwork. Well, instead of those line lawyers properly enforcing the law under Bondi, they're sabotaging, they're slow walking, a bunch of them are resigning, they're all running to New York Times and throwing tantrums. So they just don't have the manpower that you would think. Ed Martin, for example, is his nomination to U.S. Attorney for the District of Columbia is being held up by Adam Schiff, a Russiagate collusion hoaxer. So if you're on the outside, you would say, my goodness, why is it that there were almost 100 J6ers already indicted at this time during Biden's administration, and we can barely get someone on a very clean case of mortgage fraud? And the answer is because every attorney hiring process starting under Barack Obama and the FBI and the DOJ was to get people into the Stasi. So they were all on board. They're ready to go. They're ready to frame people for crimes. And the Bondi administration is having trouble getting lawyers even confirmed to positions where they're needed. So this is I'm not a planned truster. Everybody, I always tell people, go read what I had to say about Trump during his first term, because people even try to dig up tweets to like get one over on me. And I was like, oh no, I was very frustrated. I'm not a planned truster. But in this case, you have Bongino, you have Cash. And then you have everybody in there who's the Stasi. And if you look at Christopher Wray bragged about it, I believe 40% of current FBI employees were hired during the Biden regime, right? Mm. It's going to take a long time to unravel this and find out who is good and who isn't. So I think people should continue being aggressive in a civil way about these issues, but I don't think it's fair to compare the timeline of the Trump's second term with the Biden regime's first term.
Okay, that's fair. Is it reasonable to assume we will get these things at some point in the next 4 years, or is it too far gone, Mike? And I'm almost scared to ask the question because I'm afraid I think I already know what the answer is. Are there too many cancers in place to be removed?
The difficult question, and I think about this a lot too, is we're certainly not going to get what we want, but we're already getting things. Brian Otten, who was would terrorize innocent Christian people. Chuck Grassley revealed him as one of the guys responsible for the Hunter Biden laptop cover up scheme. He's been removed, so things are happening. But it's unfortunate that we're fighting personnel decisions that were a decade in the making. There are all these FBI agents and DOJ officials. Some of them have civil service protections, so you can't just come in and remove them. Judges are jamming everything up. So what we have to do is take the wins that we can, and we have to keep pushing. I do like the idea of impeaching judges. Not because I think the Senate will convict them, because they absolutely will not, but because it'll give Congress jurisdiction to issue subpoenas. So if I'm you and I'm talking to Chip Roy and I'm talking to Britt, I'm just saying, like, in the hypothetical world, if I'm talking to these guys, I would say, look, we know the Senate's not going to convict Boasberg. We know this. But the only way that we can get jurisdiction and start issuing subpoenas to find out what is happening in that DC Stasi show trial Stalin fiefdom is to investigate impeachment, because then we have congressional oversight, we have congressional subpoena power, then we can issue subpoenas to Judge Boasberg and say, how is it that these cases are randomly assigned, but you always seem to get them? Do you have the luckiest hand in the world? Should you start playing the lottery? Should you go to Vegas because you'd be a billionaire, become a stock trader? How is it that you're getting all these randomly assigned things? As of right now, no one has jurisdiction to demand answers. A Congress member, Jim Jordan or Chip Roy or somebody, can't just write a letter and get that information. But if there's an impeachment inquiry and there's a committee, that committee absolutely has jurisdiction, and they can start issuing subpoenas. And I can tell you that will put the fear of God into John Roberts and these D.C. judges. They will know that they have to respond to these subpoenas, or else the judges can be held in contempt by Congress. And then they can be indicted the way Steve Bannon was indicted for contempt of Congress. So we 100% what we need to do, the best thing we can do right now, is say, look, we know the Senate, we know Mitch isn't going to convict any of these judges. Irrelevant. This is about Congress having jurisdiction and oversight and the power to start issuing subpoenas to get these judges under oath and to get this under control.
Who's Gonzalo Lira?
Great question. Apparently, nobody knows, because there was a guy who writes for The Atlantic, and he's always talking about how great Ukraine democracy is. And I go, well, what about Gonzalo Lira? And then he sanctimoniously says, well, how do you expect me to know about everybody? And then he said, I bet you that people at the Orange County shopping malls that you go to don't know who he is. Like, yeah, dumb. You're proving my point. You guys had a media blackout on Gonzalo Lira. And I consider Gonzalo Lira the litmus test for whether I consider someone to be a propagandist or a person who has a good faith debate with me about Ukraine, a good faith disagreement. You could say, as you and I could just say, hey, what was he doing going to Ukraine, making videos calling Zelensky a dictator, right? He's lucky he didn't get beat up, but then they killed him. They took him prisoner when he was trying to leave the country. This is all on video. And the Zelensky regime and the Ukrainians were so psychotic that instead of saying, thank goodness we got rid of this wacko, get him out of the country, what a problem, right? They instead decided to kidnap him, torture him, and kill him. And then, of course, when asked, they'll say he had a medical condition. When you would say, well, why didn't you get a medical treatment in the U.S.? So Gonzalo Lira is an American who made YouTube videos that the Zelensky regime didn't like. He was held in custody. He tried to leave the country when he was more or less told to by Ukrainian law enforcement, who said it would be a good idea if you kind of just disappeared. He tried to leave, he documented it all, and then he died in a hospital, a victim of torture of the Zelensky regime, the great democracy, and our great Western ally.
Our good friends. Mike, what's this movie? Are you allowed to talk about it yet, or am I not supposed to ask? Yeah. I didn't text you beforehand,
no. So
yell at me if I'm not supposed to ask.
I'm working on two. Okay. One is still under wraps, but the big one we're doing is about the meaning of life. And it's called Meaning, one word, and it's about the meaning of life. We just spent 2 months in the Amazon looking at what might have been megaliths with Timothy Alberino, tracing the origin of humanity. We looked at some people doing ayahuasca, talked to ayahuasca people. We're going to churches. We're talking to people of all different kinds of life and trying to make a movie, which is it's an ambitious project, is one way to put it. Causes me a lot of stress would be another way to put it. Like, oh, I'm going to make a movie about the meaning of life. What a douche-a-roni, right? My God, you know, what a douche. Well, that's what we're trying to do, though.
Gosh, I want to go to the Amazon. Mike, I'll talk to you again soon, brother. Appreciate you. All right. I bet he slept good last night. I slept good last night. Remember yesterday when I told you I didn't sleep? And what did I tell you? I didn't have any beam. I didn't make that mistake last night. Went home, had a little dinner. Mom came over, hung out, watched a baseball game with Ob, Mom, kids. About 9:30, got myself a little cup of hot chocolate. Only my hot chocolate is special. It's got dream powder in it. Chocolate cinnamon. It's delicious. You would never know it if you sip on it. You would just say, wow, that's delicious hot chocolate, but you will drift off to sleep shortly afterwards. But there are lots of things that help you sleep. The thing that makes dream powder so amazing is how you feel when you wake up. You don't feel drugged. How many things do you take to sleep? You wake up, you don't feel good. You feel tired and groggy. Not with Dream Powder. Go get some. Shopbeam.com/Jesse Kelly. Get you up to 40% off. We'll be back.
The best way to understand all sides of an issue is to know all sides of an issue.
Can't get that in the mainstream media, which is why you've got to listen to some Clay and Buck for another point of view.
Buck, why are you going third person?
Because, Clay, I think this ad is running in places that might not exactly align with all of our politics or even know who we are.
It's impossible. But maybe if it's true, I bet if they did listen, they'd end up agreeing with us on at least one issue, even if they secretly won't admit it.
Well, the only way they're going to find out is if they download the Clay Travis and Buck Sexton Show podcast on the iHeartRadio app or wherever they get their pods.
We're easy to find, unlike your wife at Costco.
Clay, you speak the truth, but we're already losing people.
I think I gained one or two just now.
In case you haven't noticed, we like to have a lot of fun as well as talk about what's going on in the world.
Come hang with us today and every day at Clay and Buck. Download the iHeartRadio app, search out those names, Clay Travis, Buck Sexton, and come hang.
In the fall of 1986, Ronald Reagan found himself at the center of a massive scandal that looked like it might bring down his presidency.
Did you make a mistake in sending arms to Tehran, sir?
No.
It became known as the Iran-Contra affair.
And I'm not taking any more questions. In just a second, I'm going to ask Attorney General.
I'm Leon Neyfakh, co-creator of Slow Burn. In my podcast, Fiasco, Iran-Contra, you'll hear all the unbelievable details of a scandal that captivated the nation nearly 40 years ago, but which few of us still remember today.
The things that happened were so bizarre and insane, I can't begin to tell you.
Please do.
To hear the whole story, listen to Fiasco, Iran-Contra on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hi, I'm Bob Pittman, Chairman and CEO of iHeartMedia.
On this week's episode of Math and Magic, I'm sitting down with the one and only Bobby Bones. We're exploring the power of audio.
The word on the street then was, he's too country for pop. But then once I got to country, it was, he's too pop for country. So I kind of never really had a place to fit in, but that's exactly how and why I fit. I just embraced that. Like, yeah, I don't fit into one specific hole. I think that is what endeared me to listeners. That's why I'm here now, because I talk to people that grew up like me, have sensibilities like me, and have loyalties like me.
Listen to Math and Magic, stories from the frontiers of marketing on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
The border is closed. By the grace of God, I can't even believe I'm saying it. The border is actually closed in the United States of America. How did that happen? Because it didn't happen in the previous 4 years. How did it happen? How did it happen so fast? Joining me now, senior advisor to U.S. Customs and Border Protection, also former chief at Border Patrol, Ron Vitello. Ron, how exactly do you go from record border crossings to virtually nothing in 100 days? How'd that happen?
Well, you get a new president who assigns leaders that know what they're doing, like Kristi Noem, and you give the front line the tools and the know-how. Like, they already know how to do this, right? You got to get out of their way and let them do the job. And then you add the assets from the interagency, and that's every single department in the government, the Treasury Department, the Justice Department, the Department of Defense, HHS. All of them are pointing in the direction to help the front line succeed in a way that I've never seen. In you know, over 30 plus years, both on the front line, in the headquarters, and now as a senior advisor at CBP. It's wonderful to see. Now, there is a lot more to do with regard to criminal cartels, with regard to detention space, with regard to interior enforcement. But we are well on our way to making the border a much safer place, thereby protecting the homeland in ways that weren't possible under the first under the last president.
Ron, I understand that there are going to be limits on what you can tell us, and that's obviously fine. I don't want you to step out of bounds. But as far as the cartels go, we were told that we're going to go after them hard, and I know they have been. What have we done, and what are we intending to do as far as the limits on what you can tell us?
Well, what we've done is taking taken them off the field in regard to what areas they control in the southwest border. The front line of DHS, along with our heroes in the military partnered with DOD, are now in control of the line. We know what happens, when it happens, and are able to respond. When people still try to invade the country, they're arrested quickly. And with the help of ICE, with the help of the State Department, with the help of the military, they're also being removed quickly. And there's a military-to-military relationship that has never existed in my time in government. And so our military is helping the Mexican military, trusted and vetted units, to do things in Mexico, that I've never seen before. Mexico also has 10,000 National Guard troops deployed on their northern border, our southern border, helping exchange information, mirrored patrols, and all the things that keep the smugglers from being in control of that territory and allow the authorities to control it and regulate it. And so things that were happening just before January 20th are not happening on the southwest border anymore. There's still a lot to do, right? These cartels are not going to pull up their operations and just leave. They're going to continue to exploit ways that they can find to get into the country and ply their trade. They're going to look for other avenues into the United States. And we know some of those tactics. Tunnels are very popular amongst the high-level cartels in Mexico. They use drones now, aircraft. We'll have to watch the littorals around San Diego and Brownsville, Texas, the Caribbean and our East Coast. But all of those things are in the toolkit now at DHS across the board with our interagency partners. And it'll just remain to be seen what the reaction of the cartel is. But again, an unprecedented cooperation amongst the interagency in the U.S. And things that Mexico is doing that they've never done before.
Ron, how reliant are we on the military specifically in order to get this border secure? And I ask, it's a completely loaded question because, to be honest, I don't want them to have to be there. I'm totally okay with them being there protecting the country, don't get me wrong. But the Border Patrol knows how to patrol the border. I wish we didn't have to supplement it with the military. How much are they handling?
This is a very good question. So there are 10,000 troops on the border. We're using military flights to help repatriate people that are in custody at ICE and inside of CBP. It's 10,000. They've fortified the border. They've put up a bunch of sea wire. They're doing patrols. They're doing intelligence collection. They're monitoring our sensors for us. But you're right. You know, even under, you know, a supportive president, more needs to be done as it relates to the capabilities given by the Border Patrol, maybe left behind by the military. And so is this a longer term strategy? I agree with you. We want them focused on threats that only they can cover. We're grateful for their help now, but we want this to be able to be sustained in a way that allows the Border Patrol and the frontline of DHS to do all of the things and only call on the military when it's absolutely necessary and get them focused on the peer-to-peer threats and other threats that are in the country. But we're grateful to have them. But I do think that sustainability over the long term requires domestic law enforcement to be primary at the border as it was most of the time.
Talk to me about Mexico's southern border, if you will, because obviously all those caravans, those thousands and thousands of people had to get through that one before they could get to our southern border. What's the status down there?
Right. So again, leadership matters here. The president has leveraged the thought of tariffs on goods from Mexico. We are their number one trading partner. They must do business in the United States for their economy to succeed and have, you know, the working class have jobs in Mexico. It's a much smaller border between Guatemala and Mexico, easier to control. When they control their own border, it brings revenue like us. It brings revenue into the treasury. And so with the threat of tariffs, their recognition of the shared responsibility for the flow through Mexico, they're controlling the border in ways that they hadn't before. I'm not aware directly of their deployments on their southern border, but again, it's much more easily controlled there. And when the policies in the United States do not encourage people to come in to the United States to cross that border illegally, everybody sees less activity in the pipeline, the illicit activity, human trafficking, fentanyl, et cetera, et cetera. All of those things are trending in the right direction, including what's happening inside of Mexico.
Ron, can you speak at all about what's happening inside our border? I know the border is locked down, but we have millions, some say 20, who knows what the number is, millions that were brought in just under Joe Biden. We're not even talking about the kids. 300,000 is a laughably low number. We have a country full of illegals now. How do we get them out? Where are they?
So ICE has embarked on the largest interior enforcement operation for many decades, certainly the most in the last 10 years or so. And so they are targeting people who are in the country illegally, have also committed crimes in their communities. Those at-large arrests are approaching 50,000. Overall removals between ICE and CBP is well over 100,000. Again, a lot more to do. They need to scale up those operations. Congress needs to step in and give them the resources that they need to do this more often. We also see the interagency cooperating there. But what they're doing is they're targeting criminals who are in the United States, including those that live in and are being sanctuaried by cities who flout the rule of law and immigration authority. But they are conducting those at-large arrests more in the last several months than in the entirety of the Biden administration. So again, more to do, but they're focused on the worst of the worst. And then over time, the aperture will expand to work on other illegal populations. What we're also doing, the CBP Home app, people who are in the country illegally, they wish to go back without consequence, they can raise their hand inside the app and ask for assistance on travel documents or being able to pay for airline tickets. Many people are electing to self-deport, just trying to sneak into Canada or just getting on airplanes and leaving. Thousands of people have already done that. So there's a full court press against the interagency. The secretary has also warned people who are in the country illegal that they must register with the government. If they don't do that, they face financial penalties besides the knock on the door and on the path to removal and deportation. And so there's a number of ways people can leave if they want to. And then we will see the Justice Department pressure more on these sanctuary jurisdictions so that ICE agents and officers can use local authorities and arrest people in jails that are also in the country illegally who have committed crimes. And so all of those things in play for the population that exists right now in the U.S.
Okay, Ron, final question. Tom Homan was discussing sanctuary cities. Here's what he said.
It's on the books that make it a criminal offense to shield or harbor illegal immigrants like the sanctuary state city leaders have been doing. Do you think they should be prosecuted the fullest extent of law and possibly put in prison?
Absolutely. And hold tight on that one, because it's coming. It's coming. I've been clearing that since day one.
What can be done against these sanctuary cities? I'm well aware that these sanctuary cities, they study the law, they try to dance through that minefield so they can protect illegals without violating the law. What can we do?
Well, I think the ultimate fix would be Congress coming in and making it illegal for jurisdictions to harbor people or to negate federal law by letting people who are in custody out without cooperating with ICE. You could legislate what was used to be called the Secure Communities Program, probably the most effective post 9/11 program that allowed local officers to nominate people who were born outside of the United States directly to ICE. ICE could file a detainer electronically, and there was a pipeline, if you will, out of the jail, out of the country. So you could reestablish that through legislation. In the meantime, any official or not that gets in the way of ICE conducting their work or harbors illegal aliens in the United States can and should be prosecuted. They will be prosecuted under the current efforts underway in the interior. And then the Justice Department can do things like restrict government grants, restrict Justice Department grants to these sanctuaries in order to get them to cooperate, right? Ask them if they will cooperate, have these agreements under 287G. If they don't do that, make them in some way through the legal process. Ultimately, Congress could seal this deal by putting this to bed with legislation, which obviously would be challenged in the courts, but that would be the most permanent way to fix it.
Fingers crossed. Ron, thank you for what you do. Please keep keeping us safe. All right. We have a light in the mood. I'm already laughing about it. Next.
In the fall of 1986, Ronald Reagan found himself at the center of a massive scandal that looked like it might bring down his presidency.
Did you make a mistake in sending arms to Tehran, sir?
No.
It became known as the Iran-Contra affair.
And I'm not taking any more questions. In just a second, I'm going to ask Attorney General.
I'm Leon Neyfakh, co-creator of Slow Burn. In my podcast, Fiasco, Iran-Contra, you'll hear all the unbelievable details of a scandal that captivated the nation nearly 40 years ago, but which few of us still remember today.
The things that happened were so bizarre and insane, I can't begin to tell you.
Please do.
To hear the whole story, listen to Fiasco, Iran-Contra on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
The best way to understand all sides of an issue is to know all sides of an issue.
Can't get that in the mainstream media, which is why you've got to listen to some Clay and Buck for another point of view.
Buck, why are you going third person?
Because, Clay, I think this ad is running in places that might not exactly align with all of our politics or even know who we are.
It's impossible. But maybe if it's true, I bet if they did listen, they'd end up agreeing with us on at least one issue, even if they secretly won't admit it.
Well, the only way they're going to find out is if they download the Clay Travis and Buck Sexton Show podcast on the iHeartRadio app or wherever they get their pods.
We're easy to find, unlike your wife at Costco.
Clay, you speak the truth, but we're already losing people.
I think I gained one or two just now.
In case you haven't noticed, we like to have a lot of fun as well as talk about what's going on in the world.
Come hang with us today and every day at Clay and Buck. Download the iHeartRadio app, search out those names, Clay Travis, Buck Sexton, and come hang.
Hi, I'm Bob Pittman, Chairman and CEO of iHeartMedia. On this week's episode of Math and Magic, I'm sitting down with the one and only Bobby Bones. We're exploring the power of audio.
The word on the street then was, he's too country for pop. But then once I got to country, it was, he's too pop for country. So I kind of never really had a place to fit in, but that's exactly how and why I fit. I just embraced that. Like, yeah, I don't fit into one specific hole. I think that is what endeared me to listeners. That's why I'm here now, because I talk to people that grew up like me, have sensibilities like me, and have loyalties like me.
Listen to Math and Magic, stories from the frontiers of marketing on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, it's time to lighten the mood. And I know it's a couple days old, but I'm sorry. I cannot stop laughing about that space flight where the women went up into space and didn't do anything. They just sat in a capsule, strapped in, and went up into space for 11 minutes, and they came back down, which, look, that would be cool. I'm not even dogging on them for taking the trip, right? Okay, you took a cool trip up into space. I bet you got a good picture with your iPhone or whatever. It's cool. But it's pretending like you accomplished something. That's what's so hilarious to me and obnoxious. And now they're getting offended by people who act. Well, here was Gayle King.
And I'm so proud of us. I really am proud of me, because I never in a gazillion years thought I could do this.
I don't like that people are calling it a ride. A ride, you know, you never see a man, a male astronaut, who's going up in space and they said, oh, he took a ride. But it's not just the young girls. We're also encouraging, I mean, the boys look at it and see what women and young girls can do. Yeah. So, I know there are cranky Yankees. I know there are some haters. But I'm not going to let people steal my joy.
I'm so proud of me. I can't believe I did it. and then no one says this about the men. The men are doing something. The men are at least having to move this and press a button to do this here. You didn't do anything. Anyway, I'm sorry. I find it hilarious. I'll see you tomorrow.
Hi, I'm Bob Pittman, Chairman and CEO of iHeartMedia. On this week's episode of Math and Magic, I'm sitting down with the one and only Bobby Bones. We're exploring the power of audio.
Yeah, I don't fit into one specific hole. I think that is what endeared me to listeners. That's why I'm here now, because I talk to people that grew up like me, have sensibilities like me, and have loyalties like me.
Listen to Math and Magic, stories from the frontiers of marketing on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcast.
In the fall of 1986, Ronald Reagan found himself at the center of a massive scandal that looked like it might bring down his presidency. It became known as the Iran-Contra affair.
The things that happened were so bizarre and insane, I can't begin to tell you.
Please do.
hear the whole story, listen to Fiasco, Iran-Contra on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, Clay, if there was a summer camp for critical thinking, we'd be the chief counselors.
Those jellyheads in June would be intellectual warriors by August.
Be a lot of fun, too. Some Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventure references thrown in.
This podcast, like a daily dose of that, minus the campfires, archery, and pranking the girls.
The bona fide boot camp for critical thinking. You can get in on it for free at the iHeartRadio app or wherever you get your podcasts. Just search our names, Clay and Buck, listen and subscribe.
You're listening to an iHeart podcast.